Ms. Noble's having some problems with her back and in a lot of pain, so pray for her, all right? Pray that that would get better and she would be able to negotiate around a whole lot better than she is right now, all right? So that would be a blessing. I know she'd appreciate that. Take your Bible, if will. Let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5. The book of Acts chapter 5. We're going to begin reading down in verse 33. So Acts chapter 5 and verse 33. I started preaching through the book of Acts, and I'm always interested to what the Lord's going to lead to preach, all right? Because sometimes I've read passages and I thought, man, what am I going to preach? And so, but the Lord always comes through, all right? You say, what are you going to do if one day it doesn't? I won't be here. You'll just be on your own, all right? Now, Acts chapter 5, if you will, down in verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Now, obviously, we began reading right in the middle of the situation, all right? I mean, when we started out and the Bible said, when they heard that, you said, when they heard what? Well, you should have been here before this week, all right? You can go back and read it later if you would. But we started in the middle of the situation. The church at Jerusalem was being used in an absolutely amazing way to reach people with the gospel. Man, you read in the early days of the church here in the book of Acts, boy, thousands of people were getting saved. Miracles were still happening. People were being healed. And all of it, though, was happening in a very unfriendly atmosphere, all right? There was a lot of opposition to what was going on. The work of God brought attention from unfriendly folks and even jealous folks in the religious realm. And these are religious folks that we're talking here, all right? The they that were cut to the heart and wanted to slay these men, they were members of the Jewish council, all right? At their instigation, the apostles were arrested. They had them thrown in the common prison. Now, you read earlier there in chapter 5, the Lord brought them out and told them to go back and preach some more, all right? So they had obeyed him, and they were found back at the temple preaching. And then they were brought back before the council. But it's interesting to read, when they were brought back before the council, the attitude was a lot different, all right? They said, let's don't stir anybody up. Let's just talk to these guys, all right? And so they brought them back, and when they got there, Peter stood up. He took a great stand, and he told them how it was going to be, all right? He said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's really where we come in to what we've read for today's message, all right? It seems the majority of the religious council got stirred up and said, well, we just need to kill these fellows. But there was a voice of reason. And that voice of reason stood up and got their attention, all right? He was named Gamaliel, all right? And he reminded them, he said, now, fellas, just calm down. So I want to remind you of some other situations that have happened in the past, some other instances, and said, you know, everybody was all excited then, but he said, all of that's come to nothing. So just chill out, and I want you to notice especially what he said in verse 39. There's a very key phrase there, and it's this phrase, if it be of God. If it be of God. Now, hey, that was the defining situation. If it be of God. He said, if it be of God, then he let them know they were going to be wasting their time. He said, if it be of God, hey, there's nothing we can do. You cannot overthrow it. If it be of God. I believe there's some truths this morning we can look at here that can help us, challenge us a little bit for our day. And maybe give us a little illumination for our day, okay? So would you consider with me that little phrase, if it be of God. If it be of God. First of all, if it be of God, it can't be stopped. It can't be stopped. Folks, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you beat your chest and how much you brag on yourself. You can't whip God. You can't overcome it, all right? There was opposition. What was going on here, if it was of God, opposition wasn't going to stop it, all right? If people just got up and said, we can't do it. You know, the truth of the matter is I'm amazed in our day at how often and how easy and how many people, how many organizations, if you will, just fold up at the first sign of opposition. If there's any opposition, they go, well, okay, we won't do it then. You know, we just fold up. We're not going to do it. It won't happen. But if you're going to be, you do it, all right? Hey, look, if anything's going on for God, you can expect opposition. Anything. If I'm speaking in Sunday school this morning. If you get saved, do not think, man, I'm going to get saved and live happily ever after. No problems. No, sir. That's not going to be the way it happens. The devil is going to come against you, all right? Now, he's not going to show up with his pitchfork, all right? But he'll see to it there's opposition to you. And anything you decide to do for God, there'll be opposition. I'm not going to ask you how many of you are sitting here and you said, all right, I'm going to go to church this Sunday, and something happened that normally doesn't happen. Satan can always throw up some opposition to you. You decide, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change my life. I'm going to start doing this. Immediately, there's opposition. It just shows up, all right? There it is. There's always opposition to the things of God. The Lord told us while he was on the earth, he said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. So you just expect it, all right? Down through the Bible, it's always opposition. Let me give you a couple of examples. Remember there when Nehemiah, God led him to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Man, immediately there was opposition. Immediately. You read through the book of Nehemiah, there wasn't one manner of opposition. There was this opposition, there was that opposition, there was this opposition. I mean, all the way down the line, there was nobody out there cheering for them as they built the wall. You know, whoopee. No, there was opposition. There's always opposition to that. Moses continually faced opposition. If there's anybody in the Bible I could have really sympathized with who would have said, I quit, it's Moses. Man, the crowd bickered and bellyached and griped, and no matter what God did, it wasn't good enough. Just wasn't good enough. I mean, when they were thirsty, he hit the rock, and here comes the water. When they were hungry, he said, here it is. He put it for them. God sent manna. Every day they just had to go get it. I'm sure somebody griped, well, couldn't you just put it in the pot if I left the pot out there? There's always gripe. I mean, Moses faced opposition like nobody's business. But he kept going. Hey, always going to be opposition. But, hey, if it's of God, opposition's going to not stop it. But you can take that opposition and bring it up a notch and become persecution. I'm going to say this to you. if it's of God, it can't be stopped by persecution. Just can't be. Persecution, as I said, is just one step up from opposition. Take your Bible there. We're in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible said, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Great persecution. So what happened? Verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, hiding and running for their lives. No, that's not what it says. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Persecution didn't stop them. Persecution scattered them. I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. I can remember one time there was a spider in the house, and I thought, man, I need to kill that thing. And I hit him, and I guess it was a her. Because, man, when I hit that spider, little bitty spiders went everywhere. And I thought, man, I didn't kill them. I just scattered the crowd, you know. I should have scooped them up in a jar and carried them to my brother's house, all right? You know, or somebody else's place just to get rid of them. But, man, you hit them and they went everywhere. Just took off. Hey, when they persecuted the church, they persecuted them. It was so bad they did have to run for their lives. But when they ran, they didn't run and hide. They ran and they preached the word. You say, what do you mean? I mean they went everywhere witnessing. Everywhere. Why? Because persecution didn't stop it. To be honest with you, it increased them. It led to an increase, all right? It led to an increase because of that persecution. Hold your place there in Acts, but if you could, go back with me to the Old Testament book, the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if you get to Psalms, then go to Proverbs, that's next. Then Song of Solomon, no, then Ecclesiastes, excuse me. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And I want you to look in chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Boy, it's a tremendous statement here. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Amen. If God does it, if it be of God, it's going to be forever. It's going to be forever. Let me just throw you a few things out there. Salvation, it's forever. It's forever. It's forever. Heaven, it's forever. It's forever. There's no ending period, all right? The grace of God, hallelujah, there's no expiration date. It's forever. It's forever. If God, all right, if it be of God, if it be of God, there'll be opposition, but you can't stop it. You can't stop it. Second thing, I want you to see this. If it be of God, it will be scriptural. It will be scriptural. You said, preacher, why do you say that? Because there's so many things nowadays that people claims God, and has nothing to do with God. It is unscriptural. In many cases, it's exactly opposite to the Word of God. God's not in it, okay? I just can't emphasize enough to you that what God does, He always works in accord with what He said. Amen. What He's given us in the Scriptures. He does not, He will not violate His own Word. Will not do that. So whatever he does, it's going to be scriptural. Things come along and you have questions. You go, man, wonder about this or wonder about that. What's going on? Where does that come from? Is this God? Well, one of the ways you can examine it. You can examine the validity of that which seems to be right. Check it out with the Word of God. Check it out with the Word of God. Just measure it. Just see how it compares to what this book says. Put it up against the Word of God. You don't have to wonder and say, well, it just seems all right. I guess we can go for it. No. No. Hey, old Jim Jones took a ton of people down to South America and wound up leading them to commit suicide, and those that wouldn't do it, they killed them. Now, can I say this to you? When he was in the United States, if you'd examined what he said and what he taught by this book, you would have known, unscriptural, we're out of here. We're out of here. The Branch Davidians examined the teaching by the Word of God. What does the Bible say, all right? What does the Bible say? Is it measure up with this book? If it doesn't measure up with this book, it's not of God. It's not of God. If it violates any scriptural principle, it's not of God. It's not of God. Don't get sucked in to that kind of stuff. If it be of God, hey, can't be stopped, but it'll always be scriptural. It will always be according to thus saith the Lord. What does it mean? Does it measure up? Hey, if it be of God, it'll be scriptural. Third thing I want you to see, if it be of God, it'll make a difference. It will make a difference. Every time God is in something, he makes a difference. Every time. Let me just remind you of a few instances that we have in the Bible. Way back yonder, in the days of the judges, there was a fellow named Gideon, and he was threshing his wheat in the wine press, hiding it from the Midianites that controlled Israel in that day. God came to him and said, all right, Gideon, I've got a job for you. We're going to defeat the Midianites. Said people have cried out to me and said, maybe y'all have learned your lesson, so we're going to defeat the Midianites. Gather in. So he sent out the word, we need a volunteer army. A host of people showed up. God looked at him and said, Gideon, you got too many. Said, we need to thin the herd a little bit. We need to guess it down. Now, if you know your Bible, you know they wound up when they got to 300. God said, all right, I can't help but thank Gideon. Said, thank God. I couldn't have taken it if it wasn't any lower than this. But those 300 men that were there, hey, it was of God. It was of God. So he told them, all right, fellas, here's what you're going to do. Get you a pitcher. Get you a lamp. Put it in your pitcher. Yeah, it sounds like a plan to me. All right, we're going to do it. And surround the camp of the Midianites. And at the right time, everybody break your pitcher, hold the light up, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Okay. Hey, can I say it again? If it be of God, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. Can I tell you this? Because it's of God, it's more than a Bible story for kids. It's more than a Bible story for kids. And God made the difference. Hey, when they broke those pitchers in the middle of the night and those soldiers wound up and woke up in the middle of the night from a sleep, saw those lights surrounding their camp, man, they got so excited, they started killing each other. And all Gideon and his men had to do is chase down the remainders, all right? God was in it. God was in it. Hey, let me tell you, there was another time there back under Jericho. In Jericho, when God's people were coming back into the country and back into the land, and they faced this great walled city. Hey, they had no siege instruments, all right? In those days, cities were walled, and they had nothing to attack those cities, so God gave them a plan. He said, you walk around that city one day. Nobody says anything. Just march around the city once, one day. And man, he gave them that plan. He said, now the last day you go around, you march around it seven times. And then the fellows blow the trumpets. But if it be of God, if it be of God, there'll be a difference. There was. There was. Why? Because God was in it. God was in it. Not because the trumpet players were so good or so bad the walls fell. Not because there was an earthquake, just happenstance at that particular moment. No, God was in it. God was in it. Hey, I can tell you about three Hebrew gentlemen that defied Nebuchadnezzar and said, we're not going to bow down and worship your image. We're not going to do it. You say, yeah, and they got through in the furnace. They sure did. Yeah. But God was in it.
Yes.
God was in the furnace. That's why they said the form of that fourth man I see is like the Son of God. God was in it. Hey, if God's in it, there's a difference. There's a difference. God's in it, there's going to be a difference. Hey, can I tell you about the Lord one day? He was in this world, and he went and he told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And he got there at about noon hour, and he's there at Jacob's well. And here comes this woman, Samaria, and she's bringing a pot. And the Lord engages her in the conversation. And he said, man, if you drink of the water I have, you'd never thirst again. She said, you don't even have a pot to draw it with. But if God's in it, if God's in it, there'll be a difference. And it was such a difference that that old wicked woman went back into that city and said, come see a man that showed me everything I've ever. Is not this the Christ? Why? If God's in it, there'll be a difference. God's in it, there'll be a difference. We can go along there, if you will, to that night when a fellow named Nicodemus came. He was afraid of the Jews, so he came to Jesus by night. And he asked a question. And the Lord's answer had nothing to do, seemingly, with the question he asked. And the Lord told him, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can that be? How can that be? How can I go back in a mother's womb and be? And the Lord explained it to him. Hey, it made a difference. It made a difference for old Nicodemus. Can I tell you this? It made a difference. God was in it that night I got saved. There was a difference. It was of God when I got saved. I believe it was of God when Jesus went to the cross. It was of God. It was of God. Because of that, millions have been born again. Millions been born again. Why? Because if God's in it, it makes a difference. Hey, there's been a lot of other people crucified. But when Jesus went to the cross, God was in it. If he's in it, it makes a difference. Oh, my soul, what a difference it makes when Jesus passes by. When it's of God, lives are changed, homes are restored, marriages are repaired, hope blooms, faith is increased. Why? It's of God. God's in it. And when God's in it, makes a difference. Make a difference in your life. Hey, when God's in it, you can't stop it. If God's in it, can't be stopped. If God is in it, it's going to be scriptural. If God's in it, it's going to make a difference in the lives of people. And can I say this to you, and I hope you feel this way too. If it's of God, I want to be in on it. I want to be in on it. If it's of God, I'd just like to be a part of that. All right? Hey, I want in on the blessing. I want that. I don't know how you feel. When I read my Bible, I've still got the imagination that I had as a kid, and I read of those instances. Man, I'd have liked to have been there that night. Gideon had his army around the Midianites, that 300-strong army. I would have loved to have been there and seen what happened. Man, I'd like to have seen that. I'll be honest with you. I would like to say I would have liked to have been there when those three Hebrews went in that fire, but I'm not sure I would have wanted one be one of them put in. You say, preacher, where's your faith? Same place yours is. We get a little shaky when it's us facing that furnace. We've read the story. Now I say, okay, since I know what happened, I'm good. Throw me in too, all right? Boy, what a blessing it would have been. Can you imagine what it would have been like to stood there that day when that army of the Israelites had marched 7 times around Jericho and those trumpets blew and said, watch out, the walls are falling. Man, that would have been a time, wouldn't it? Hey, if God's in it today, I want to be in on it. I want to be in on those blessings. I just want to be a part of it. Boy, if God's blessing you, I got my hand up. I want some of it. I want some of that. If they're passing out $100 bills, most would say, I want in on it. I want in on it. All right? Hey, God's doing better than that. He's blessing people. Man, I want to be where He's blessing. If it be of God, I want to be in on it. I want those blessings. If it be of God, hey, I want to be where He's working. I want to be where He's working. Just to see what He's going to do. I want to see Him work. Come on, wouldn't you have liked to have been there that day He took spittle and clay and put it on those eyes of those blind men? You're like, wouldn't you have liked to have been there when old blind Bartimaeus was saying, have mercy on me! And the crowd said, would you knock it off? He said, you guys take a hike. Have mercy! I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have been there when that happened. I'd like to have been there that day when they cut a hole in the ceiling and let that man down with palsy. I'd like to have been there to see Jesus tell him to get up. To hear Him say, thy sins be forgiven thee. I would have liked to have been there. Hey, I would have liked to have been a spectator that day they brought that woman taken in adultery to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have wanted to be the men that brought her. But I'd like to have been where I was just looking and seeing. And I'd have liked to have stood there and seen how the Lord spoke and what He said. And as He wrote on the ground, I'd have probably been wondering, what's He writing? But I'd like to have heard Him to say to those, let him that is without sin among you cast the first stone. And then to stand and see all of those accusers one by one to leave. Woo! I'd like to have been there, man. I'd have liked to have seen and heard Him when He told her, go and sin no more. Neither. All right? He said, I'm not accusing you either. You go ahead and sin no more. I'd like to have been there. Hey, I want to be, if God's in it, I want to be where He's working. I like to see the change He brings in the lives of people. Man, there's some of you, God changed you in a mighty way. You got saved. God changed you. You're no longer anything close to what you used to be. And if somebody came along that knew you in those days before you got saved, they would look at you and say, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I like to see God do that kind of stuff. I like to see Him change people. I like to see that work goes on. Hey, if it be of God, I want to be in on it. Hey, can I say this? I want to be one that He works through. I want to be one that He works through. Got your Bible there in Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 4 and look at verse 20. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. Would you look there? Acts chapter 4, verse 20, here's what the Bible says. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's Peter and John. That's Peter and John. You said, why'd they say that? Because if it be of God, they wanted to be the one He worked through. Said, I'd like to be one He works through. Hey, I want to be one of those. Don't you want to be the one? Here you are, you're a child of God. God saved your soul, forgiven your sin. Don't you want Him to work through you to benefit somebody else? That He could use you to be a blessing on somebody else? Not just me. Not, Lord, just dump it on me. Dump it on me. No! But I could take what He's given me and go and be a blessing to somebody else. Lord, would you just work through me a little bit? A little bit. I'll tell you, there's nothing quite like God working through you. There's nothing to compare to it. I mean, why did men like James and John and Peter and John, why did these unlearned and ignorant men, that's what they were called, and it was a true description. Fishermen. Why were they willing to face death that they did? And by the way, they died that death. They were all martyred with the exception of John. All of them died, man, at the hands of men. Why were they willing to do it? Because as they knew what it was like for God to work through them. Nothing to compare. Nothing to compare. Boy, if it be of God, I want to be in on it. I want him to use me. Don't you want him to use you? You say, well, I don't want to be a preacher. Nobody said that. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to go to the mission field. God can use you right where you are. Hey, you can bring a little ray of sunshine into somebody's life if you want to. You want to. Hey, you can take that one who's headed for hell, give them the gospel, show them how to be saved, and that individual now is headed for heaven. They trust Christ because you told them how. He said, preacher, I don't know how to do that. Well, you can learn, can't you? If it worked for you, it'll work for them. Boy, can I say it to you? Gamaliel had it right. It was of God. It was of God. They couldn't stop it. We're sitting here today in this building, 5800 Denton Highway, Haltom City, Texas, thousands of miles away from Jerusalem, where this occurred. Why? Because it couldn't be stopped. Because it couldn't be stopped. Persecution, oh, persecution has come. My friend, blood's been shed, and thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands martyred for their faith. Couldn't stop it. Couldn't stop it. The mistake they made, the biggest mistake they made was not to get in on what God was doing. That was the biggest mistake. You know what? That same mistake multitudes of people make today. Hey, I'm talking about Christians. People have been born again. You're saved, on your way to heaven. Biggest mistake you make is you don't get in on what God's doing. You don't say, hey, could you use me? Could you use me? I'm reminded years ago, our Christian school, in a moment of insanity, I decided we'd have a grade school flag football team. Every little boy in those days thought they knew everything there was about football. And I can remember standing out there, and we had a team. It was playing eight-man flag football. But I had about 12 little boys that, you know, fit that age. And we practiced. And we're in a game. I'm on the sideline with four of them. And there was one of them. Can I go in? Can I go in? Hey, would you let me go in? Could I go in the game? Would you knock it off? I want to go in the game. Would you just knock? Could I go in the game? Okay. Go in. He really wanted to play. Then I'm reminded of a girls' basketball team. Only had six girls. Kathy played basketball for our Christian school team, and I think this was after her time. But I'll never forget, we were playing, only had six girls and one girl riding the bench, and she was sitting way down there. I'm sitting here, she's sitting way down there. And the game was going on, you know, we'd been playing, we're in the second half. I looked down and said, you want to go in? No. No. Don't put me in there. I don't want to go. Now, here's the question. Are you that little boy? Are you that little boy? Are you that teenage girl? She came to practice but didn't want to get in. But there's that little boy. He's over there. I want to play. Get me in the game. Biggest mistake you make as a Christian not to let God use you and get in on what he's doing. Big mistake. So said, well, I don't know what I do. I don't, ton of things. There's all kinds of stuff. There's just multitudes of things could be done. But so many of God's people are just content. You're like that girl, almost called her name. I don't want to do that. Some of you here would know her. I don't want to call her name, but you're like her. You said, nope, don't put me in. Don't put me in. But man, you ought to be like that little boy. Hey, if God be, if it be of God, I want to be in on it. Would you get in on it? Would you do it? If you're here this morning and never trusted Christ as your Savior, you have no comprehension of what we're even talking about. You don't understand. You need to be born again. Folks, that's where life starts. That's where life starts, when you decide, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. Man, I did that years ago. I was 9 years old when I got saved. Been living that life, getting in on it. And you said, how's it going? Gets better every day. Song says, sweeter as the days go by. That is true. It gets better. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Hey, that's true. But that's where it starts. You've never been born again. You need to come. So what I need to do, in just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. What you need to do is step out from where you are. Walk down here. I'll be right there. You meet me there and say, preacher, I need to trust Christ. We'll have somebody take the Bible, open it up, and show you what you need to do to be saved. If you'll just come to him. You'll just accept him today as your Savior. You're here today and you've been saved, but you've been sitting on the bench. You've been content to be out, not involved. So what I need to do, come volunteer. First, you ought to come tell the Lord, Lord, here I am, use me. I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. I want you to use me. I won't in on it. I'd just like to be a part of it. Let me in on it, Lord. And he'll make a way. He'll make a way. You know what? I said, if it be of God, he'll make a difference. He makes all the difference. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today.